Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. For these last 15 minutes here, my guest, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis for our Worldview Watch, looking at life issues, and maybe today talking just a little bit about other things connected to life, like, say, marriage. Welcome, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, welcome to you and your listeners. I think marriage is connected to life, isn't it? Didn't something happen in Genesis where... God made man and woman and told them to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah, so far
kind of like the first marriage there.
So far as I know, the only way to get more humans is to have a man and a woman. And I've heard scientists say things like, I don't know if these are real scientists, college kids pretending to be scientists, say things like, well, we can now make embryos in test tubes. It's like, okay, and then they die. You know, what you can't do yet is bring another human being into the world. And so our future is very much connected to marriage, that is, the union of a man and a woman as Jesus defined it and as Genesis defines it, making life. So I was just talking with Dr. Weiss on the break. He's got some things to talk about as well, but we wanted to use this moment just to like kind of let everybody know that there's an event going on this evening at the campus of Washington University, which originally was just kind of going to be a Bible study. It was an open to the public Bible study, but it's intended to talk about marriage. And the event's called The Original Diversity, Man and Woman in Christ. It's sponsored by the Lutheran Student Fellowship that's there. And they asked me to come and talk to them about marriage and what Scripture teaches on marriage. And they put some flyers up around campus. And what happened as a result is there has been a article published in the student newspaper decrying the event. There is a protest planned as well, kind of taking place at the same time and in the same building and actually blocking some of the way to get into the room where we're going to be meeting. And quite a few interesting things said about me. I'll just go ahead and read a little from the article. When we, the members of the College Democrats, took time to look into Jonathan Fisk, we were appalled to realize that the Lutheran Student Fellowship has endorsed an unabashedly homophobic, ultra-conservative, transphobic, anti-choice fear-monger. And it goes on to try to pin those labels on me very poorly with my own quotes, so far as I can tell, but you know, not really taking my actual position, but creating a position that they can knock over. What I kind of wanted to just talk about with you, Dr. Weiss, though, is you know, what this means in our present climate, and how, you know, to take a Christian stand means often to be misrepresented and called hateful. And that, so if you're I'm not pro-life, I'm anti-choice, right? Apparently I'm against people having freedom. The talk is going to be in part about demographics and population control and what that has done to us, what population limitation is doing to our world population levels. So if I'm going to talk about how by 2050 we're going to reach our pinnacle at 9.1 billion people on the planet, and then we're going to start dying off as our age group, kind of as the older people die off, there's less younger people below, so we're going to start significantly dropping, and this is going to affect our economies. There's German economists that talk about this, but that's fear-mongering, right? Just even to kind of talk about what that means. If I believe that a man and a woman are the only way to make a baby, that's homophobic. You know, what's a Christian to do with this kind of language and this kind of culture and attack?
Well, let me just share with you what God has to say in Matthew chapter 5. Now, I'm not saying this in a pejorative or sarcastic manner, but the ongoing persecution of Christians, the verbal persecutions, the psychological and intellectual persecution that you've heard, this is how kind of the Lord responds to this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the ongoing persecution. Gets us back into the whole issue of the freedom of speech and the lack thereof. Everybody else can have their freedom to say what they just said about you, but you cannot have your freedom to say what you want to say because they're the victim, and now you're the one that's perpetrating all of you and trying to use the plumber technology of stuffing it down their throat when all you're doing is to say, here's what I believe, teach, and confess. I don't know if you or your listeners have heard of Dan Shapiro, an Orthodox Jew, but he's in the same category as you. He's very pro-life, and he's always people are always going against him. He was just at Ferris State and talked about transgenderism and abortion and family, you know, saying we're all progeny of Adam and Eve. This is an Orthodox Jew, and he's just brilliant like you are. And I think these are the things that calls us to be kind of like a an Elijah or St. Paul is to say, I know you got your situation, you have your things, but let me tell you about my God. But the minute you want to talk about your God, they can continue that, say that this is an infringement on what you're trying. You're trying to convert me. No, I'm just telling you what I believe, as you are just telling me what you believe. So I would just, it's unfortunate you just can't tell them to sit down and shut up and let me talk, and then we'll take questions. But let's just talk the truth. This is just not going to stop in this world of liberal, progressive social media that is very, very much, as you well know, Pastor, it's all about me, it's all about self, and I know more than you know, and you can't tell me that I'm part of the progeny of Adam and Eve. But this is what the Christians are going to be dealing with at Washington University about man and woman. I mean, there are men and there are women. They cannot be changed. Genetics doesn't change that situation. So this is what it is. It would be like asking somebody out there in the audience and say, okay, tell me how old you are. Well, I'm 21. Well, why can't you be 61? Well, I'm not 60. You can't be 61. You're 21. And so you are what you are that God created, even from the standpoint of evolution. This is interesting. Evolution, if you believe in that, then there's a man and there's a woman. And at some point in time, the sexes were determined by natural selection, survival of the fittest. At some point, nobody, of course, really understands that. But even evolution points to there's a man and there's a woman for procreation. And so I think that you have to be, you know, I would say, what time is this going to be and where is this going to be?
It's going to be tonight at 6:45 p.m. in Tisch Commons, but it's not in the main part of Tisch Commons. That's when the protest will be. It's in an upper room, a lecture hall there that holds about 90 people or so. We're only going to let 90 people into the room. It is open to the public. It's geared for college students, so we'd prefer college students to come if they can. But if people want to go out there, they're certainly welcome to do it. We do ask that if you're a pastor and you come, don't come vested. We don't want to create a show. Don't wear a clerical collar. We don't want to shove anything in anybody's face, but you're certainly welcome to come out. One of the things you said that I think is really important, and this speaks to our climate, is even though there is a push to silence discussion when it has disagreement with certain agendas, generally the progressive agenda, I think that it's important that we don't respond in kind, but that we constantly are trying to show that we want to have an open dialogue, that we value free speech and we value real tolerance, that I can disagree with you and think what you're doing is actually blasphemous and sinful and still love you and still be your neighbor, be a good neighbor. We can barbecue together, right? I mean, these things do not exclude each other. And one of the other things that I think is important is to, as you're in those conversations talking for the value of free speech, to try to draw them into some sort of consistency with their own platform. So like one of the last things the article says is that, quote, it is our goal to show the world that this community accepts every one of its members, regardless of their religion, gender, or sexual orientation, end quote, right? Isn't that fascinating? Regardless of their religion, and yet you're going to have this massive demonstration against a Bible study. What is effectively a Bible study, you know? I'm not speaking to the student body, you know?
Yeah, it's a false logic. What they have to understand is, for example, if you ask some of these people that will be protesting, say, let me just ask you a question. Do you have any friends on this campus or perhaps outside the campus or perhaps within your family that disagree with any of the positions you take on, say, life issues, political issues, social issues, whatever? Do you have any people that you actually are friends with? Oh, well, of course. I said, well, here we are. I said, why am I not, quote unquote, put into that same category? You see, and I don't think they can respond to the point where, oh, because that's kind of what I'm saying to you. And the second point is that in these kinds of contexts, I almost would say, thank the Lord for you and your and your willingness to stand up for what you believe, teach, and confess. This is just a prime example of what is happening in the world, throughout the world, to Christians who are just simply saying, what you're saying to me, Jonathan, is to say, I want to get into your narrative. I want to hear what you have to say. and then I'll share what I have to say. This, you know, because we can't just shut other people off, but that's what they want to do.
Well, the tactic of bullying just needs to be something that we don't let stop us. I want to tolerate people I disagree with, but I don't want to tolerate a bully. Because a bully is not just going to silence me. The bully is going to silence everybody else. And so I'm kind of convinced of this. Not only that we need to continue to, whether we're a political conservative, a political liberal who believes in liberal ideas such as, I don't know, larger government, but doesn't really believe in kind of the fascist silencing of everybody who disagrees with you, whether you're that kind of political liberal, whether you're a conservative Christian and you're just talking about your Christian belief, we need to continue to speak. And we can't let the fear silence us.
Yeah, and I do still think that if some of these people, if you have a chance to at least get, get a word in edgewise, and you may not be able to get this thing going if there's too many people that are protesting and just shouting you down like they have with several people in the political situation. And I know Dan Shapiro, you can look up his YouTube stuff. People are always protesting against this guy.
And you got Milo at Berkeley. I mean, there was that issue too, so... Yeah, it could be.
I mean, the bullying business, I would still ask these people, excuse me, this kind of stuff you're saying to me, and I said this to someone, for me it seems to work pretty good. What do your friends say to you who disagree with you? I'm sure you must have friends who disagree with you. Oh, well, yeah, sure. Well, here I am. I'm trying to get into your narrative to understand why you disagree with me. So why don't you just tell me calmly your point, and I'll tell you calmly my point. And because they do have friends who disagree with them, but when you come from the outside, and to me it's the issue that you're a Christian, that's the problem. Mm. And they're not. They're not Christians.
If we're going to be a civilized society and not dissolve into barbarism, then we have to be able to disagree. We have to be able to tolerate, in the best sense of the word, those who have vastly different worldviews than we do. Those who we believe, in fact, as Christians, are outside of Christ, and this doesn't have to do with their works. This has to do with them not believing in the cross and therefore are going to hell. That doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't treat them kindly. In fact, it's Jesus who teaches us this greatest ethic of all ethics. They love your enemy, right? Do good to those who persecute you.
Yeah, well, and those are the things that, I mean, of course, Jesus, right from the beginning, you can track the linear and then the exponential increase in how people started to bully him and how he responded to them. I mean, he sat and ate with sinners. He sat and listened to them. They pushed him around. But there are times when you have to kick the dust off your feet and go someplace else. And I think that in those kinds of situations that you're going to be up against this evening at 6:45 in the Commons, you know, God bless you. You got my prayers, because I think this is just an ongoing witness and testimony that people have to hear about. And I'm hoping that when you're finished with this and however it goes, you'll be able to give a summary over his time, you know, sometime down the road, not to complain, but just to let people know that we cannot back away. We have to remain steadfast and immovable. And that remains not just saying, I know more than you know and I'm better than you, but it's exactly what you've been chatting about in terms of, you know, let's talk about these issues and this issue we don't agree to disagree, which is a half-truth.
My prayer is that their protest goes very well peacefully, that they achieve the goal of having their message heard, and I achieve the goal of having my message heard, and that people listen to both sides and come to a logical conclusion. My guest, Pastor Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary St. Louis, you're listening to his time. Jesus is coming back. Either way, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn. Thanks, Bob. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.